I wish everybody in Alabama would get crazy. It's indeed my privilege to be here. I'm honored, and I'm glad to be in Alabama. I'm glad to be here at this time, at this place. With the presence of the Lord here in a mighty, mighty way. Hallelujah. Shake hands with somebody and say, I feel good. Praise God. I'm happy to be here with all of my friends. Some of you I have not met. I give honor to our superintendent, Brother Lewis, and his family. And then as they lead this district in revival. It's good to be with Brother Sutton, Brother Wilbanks, and I shouldn't have started calling names because now I'll get in trouble. And be Brother Emery. And Brother Cornwell and Brother Godwin. My, what we have already heard and felt. And tonight is no different. We're going to have a good time. Now they say we act crazy. But I understand just a few paces away from here, there's a young guy that's going to be doing a little country and western. And I was in the elevator with some, they looked like they were pretty smart people. I mean, they looked like that. In fact, I had to ride the elevator three or four times a day. The lock on the door would not work. So up and down I went to the... And every time I went on that elevator, it was the same people. And they were all excited about what was going on tonight. And they were talking about what they're going to do tonight. And they're just going crazy. So when I was coming to church, when now they're all dressed up to go to their place. And I mean, earlier today, they looked like good people. Looked like they had good sense. But I doubted it on the way down on the elevator. I mean, here is... I'm talking about grown people. I'm talking about people that have kids probably in junior high and high school. And two or three of them may have had them in college. I'm not quite as old as they were, you know. I'm just a young man. And they had their banners. They had their posters. They had the guy's name wrote all over their clothes. And they were talking about how they're going to be on the front, and they're jumping up and down the whole concert. And they're going to be running. And I thought they were talking about church. If I'd have closed my eyes, I would have thought I was with some apostolic. I mean, they're talking about, well, we're going to get with it, man. I mean, we're going to have a good time tonight. I mean, we're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to stand up the whole time. We're going to leap. We're going to run. So I just asked them if they were going where I was going. When I got on the elevator with them, the whole elevator was full of them. And I got on last, and so I didn't turn around like most people do when they get on the elevator. You know, they get on, turn around, look at the door. I just got on and looked at them all. And I said, y'all going where I'm going tonight? And they could tell I wasn't going where they were going the way I was dressed. I said, y'all sound like you're going to an apostolic Pentecostal worship service. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1 is where we are going. Luke chapter 1. Brother Davidson, I enjoyed that praise and worship.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Luke chapter number 1, we'll begin our reading at verse number 26. I realize there is one coming after me, and we work good together, and y'all are in for a ride tonight. We will begin our reading at verse number 26, Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now, here's one of the verses I want us to pay close attention to. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, we need to pay attention to this next verse also. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing. For with God, no thing. Nothing shall be impossible. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Powerful verses of scripture. I simply want to preach tonight upon two words. And those two words are this: what, how. What as a question, how as a question. What? How? Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy, for your kindness. Lord, this anointed word that is quick, sharp, powerful, piercing. Lord, this word that is sent among us, it brings healing, it brings conviction, it brings direction. It empowers us. It teaches us all things that we have learned. Oh God, it is through your word. Bless it now in our hearts. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And somebody shouted, amen.
Amen.
Bless you. You may be seated. If you have been in the work of God for any length of time, if you have walked with God, and any time in your walking with God looked to do something for your God, to accomplish visions that Jesus Christ has given you, then you know about tension. You know about stress. You know about dissatisfaction. Yes, even anger. I'm telling you, in my walk with God, not just in pastoring, but just in accomplishing things for God, I have noticed the tension, the stress. I've been dissatisfied. There's been times that dissatisfaction turned into anger. And it usually came, this tension, this stress, this that I'm speaking of, it would come between what I had and what I could have had. When I looked at what I possessed and I looked at what I thought I should have possessed. When I looked at what is and what could be, then that's when the tension would come in. Well, why, God? Why is it happening over there? Why is it happening to this one? And I'm their age, and bless God, I've got the anointing like they've got, and I preach what they preach, and the power is with me. And well, Lord, how come I don't have it like what they're having? When I look at what I've got, and I look at what I'm wanting to get and what I don't have. And I thought by now I would have already had it, God. And there's times that tension and that stress and dissatisfaction and, yes, even anger. Because I was looking at what I had and what I could have had. I was looking at what is and what could be. And the more I thought about that, the early part of this year, it dawned on me that as I looked at what is and compared it to what could be, that was when I saw that what could be was only a dream. It was only an idea that had not happened. It was what could be was only a wish. It was only an interest. It was only something that I wanted that I had not yet possessed. And I realized that I needed, if I was going to move from what is to what could be, I had to radically alter the way I thought and the way I looked at what I had or what is, and the what I looked at what I wanted or what could be. See, a lot of times we look at what is, and then we look at what could be, and it seems like, well, I'll always be here, and I'll never get there. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody help me here. Somebody help me as I preach along these lines. Hey, what is and what could be? And I'm not talking about an interest. I'm not talking about a wish. I'm not talking about something that I hoped for. I'm not talking about something that I wanted. I'm not talking about, no. When I look at what is and what could be, I was setting myself up for a downfall. Because it's not what could be. I had to change my mind, and it's what I have, and I want to make it into what should be. See, what could be, I leave myself a plan of escape. I leave myself a way out. Some of y'all just sitting there looking at me. It's going to dawn on you in just a little bit what I'm preaching about. And so I got to change what could be to where I'm not saying, well, it could be, but you know, I don't have the resources. I don't have the thinking ability. I don't have the capability. I don't have the money. I don't have the wherewithal. You see, I don't have their church. I don't have their family. I don't have their job. I don't have their position. I don't have their mentality. I don't have, and we give ourselves, yeah, you see where I'm going. But when I make up in my mind that what I have is what is, but I'm not talking about what could be, now I'm going to make it in to what should be. And if it's should be, then that tells me I'm going to do something about it. Help me now, Jesus. I'm going to do something about what I've got. I'm not sitting around giving excuses. I'm not sitting around thinking why it can't be. But now what should be, I'm open to the creative thinking. I'm open to creative activity. I'm open now. Somebody needs to shout, yeah. See, I'm tired of inspiration. I have been inspired until I have perspired. And I didn't have anything for it except a whole lot of calisthenics. I realized that instead of inspiration, what I needed to have was conviction. Oh yeah, I'll do something about it if I'm more than inspired, if I'm convicted, if God will come. Oh yeah, I come to a conference on revival and I can be inspired and never go home and take any action. But if I come to a meeting like this, I come into a house like this, I find the worship and the praise and the power, and I learn tools, and I learn, and I'm convicted in my spirit. I'm convicted in my heart. I'm convicted in my actions. Then I can step into action. So there's got to be more than just a whole lot of motion and no growth. Our church is set on Luke 12, a major artery there in Dallas. And there is an overpass right close by. And one day as I was driving over the overpass, I noticed as I came up to it, there was a line of pigeons sitting there. And an 18-wheeler went by and backfired with a loud pow. And you never saw such a flurry of motion. Feathers were going, wings beating the air. We're going somewhere. We've launched out and flapping and beating and going, and here we are. And they come right back down where they left. And that's where they landed, and they lined right back up again. And I thought, oh, so much of it. We Pentecostals are just that way. Oh, yeah. God puts a pow in our life. God puts a pow in our spirit. God puts a pow into us. And there's a whole lot of scurrying. There's a whole lot of flurrying. There's a whole lot of moving. There's a whole lot of shaking. There's a whole lot of baking. And we move around. Yeah, the bass drum is going. The parade is on the way. We're going. Oh, yeah, we're going to have the best revival we ever had. We're going to pray through more people this time. We're going to have this and man this. And when it's all over with, we just right back where we started. And didn't do one thing. See, I'm a little better than what I was today. I almost said not one blasted thing. there we are. I was driving home from the conference in Alexandria in January. And the theme at the conference had been passion. And they had ripped me and shredded me with passion. I've preached passion. I've lived passion. I have thrived on passion. Passion. You've got to have passion. You've got to have passion. I mean, not just go along to get along, but some passion. And so they preached on that and they hammered me with it. And finally, and when it was all over with, the next day I'm driving home and my wife's in the car with me and I'm weeping and I'm sobbing as I'm driving down that interstate back to Dallas. And I'm crying and I'm saying, oh God, I've got passion. We love passion. We thrive on passion. God, what comes after passion? What do you do with passion when passion has run its course, when inspiration has reached its boundary, when it seems like it has gone as far as it can carry you? I said, God, what is the next step? And as I drove along there, God birthed it into me and he said, son, you are passionate, but now your passion has got to move to something else. And if passion doesn't step up, you will step back from passion. He said, what you've got to do now is have obsession. You've got passion, but now you can't back off of passion. You can't let passion go. You've got to grab a hold of obsession and obsess on it now. He said, you've got to go overboard. It's passionate obsession, and now you obsess it. I'm preaching to somebody. You've got to obsess on prayer. You've got to obsess on soul winning. You've got to obsess on your walk with God. You've got to obsess on standing for what is right. It can't be just show up. It can't be just have a little passion. It's got to be your obsession. Come on, somebody help me right now. It's got to be more than a little old golf clap. It's got to be more than just a little, well, let me give you a little wave. Let me give you a little nodding of the head. No. It's got to be obsession. 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 An athlete will have passion, but those that are the prestigious, those that have made it to the top, and they're the champions of the champions, they are the ones that obsess on it. When a preacher or a saint of God will show up with more than passion, but will go to the next step with obsession. Come on, there'll always be those that will say, if you're going beyond passion and you've got obsession, they'll say, give the man some room. Give the woman some room. There's room for a passionate man. There's room for one that will obsess. Come on, we've got evangelists dime a dozen, but there is room for a evangelist, the evangelist. Hey, we got preachers, but there's always more room for somebody that will obsess. Come on, Bible study teacher. Come on, prayer warrior. Come on, youth worker. Come on, Sunday school teacher. Come on, praise leader. Come on, music ministry. Come on, it's got to be more than passion. It's got to be more than just saying I want it. You've got to obsess on it. You've got to obsess
to the point that's what you eat, that's what you drink, that's what you sleep, that's what you're after. Somebody said, Foster, what's wrong with you? I'll tell you why Monday was a 13-hour day. I'll tell you why Tuesday of this week was a 12-hour day. I'll tell you why yesterday, before I ever got on an airplane to fly here, I spent 13 hours at that church. I'll tell you why I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I want it. I gotta have it. It's gotta be there. It's got to be more than a passion. It's got to be an obsession. What drove Jesus to the cross? Mr. Gibson, you got it wrong. You say the passion of Christ was when he was suffering at that cross. You may pull on my coattail and tell me I'm wrong, but you hear me. The night before he went to the cross, he was sweating like great drops of blood in an altar of prayer. And there he was saying, not my will, but thine be done. That was passion. That was passion. Where he said, I don't want to drink it, but nevertheless, if it's your will, I will drink of the cup. Passion. And the next day, carrying a cross, that's obsession. Laid out on the cross, he's obsessed with it. Yes, for what? The joy that was set before him. He endured the cross. Obsession. Oh yeah, I'm talking about what is. What should be. Now watch this. Well, what do you do when you get to the end of obsession? Oh yeah, there's another step. There's another step. You are possessed when you flirt around with a demonic spirit. You are. How does a man be possessed of an evil spirit? He starts playing with it, and he gets passionate about it. He gets passionate about that thing, about that person. That woman gets passionate about it, and then she obsesses on it until finally she or he is possessed. And the next step after obsession will be possession. You have passion until it gives birth to obsession, and it is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what I want. That's what I'm after. That's what I got to have. Oh yes, oh Lord, it's you. And I'm passionate to the point where I'm obsessed. But then I'm obsessed wherever I go. I'm inviting people to church. I'm telling them about Jesus. I'm bragging on my preacher. I'm bragging on my church. I'm bragging on Jesus Christ. I'm talking about signs, wonders, and miracles. I'm talking about the outpouring of a Holy Ghost. I'm talking about Bible studies and youth ministry. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about, yes, obsessed until you are possessed with it. And it has you every morning. You climb out of that bed, you dreamed about it. It's at the breakfast table. It's at lunchtime. You can't help it. It's in you. It's on you. It's for you. It's to you. Possession. When I came up on this platform tonight, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, there's another step. I went, oh God, you're wearing me out. Possessed. I thought, that's it. He said, then, after possessing, it's performance. Do it. Do it. perform it. Listen, David killed Goliath and is an example to you and I that we too can handle our giants. Oh yeah. I'm talking to somebody tonight. You look at what is and what could be, but get could be out of your mind and make it should be. And if it should be, it has become my preferred destination. It has become my preferred future. Listen, I'm not going to sit around and let my future slip up on me. I am not going to sit around and just take any little old future, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I choose my future. I choose. Oh yeah, tragedy will come, but I choose how I handle it. Yeah, blessings come, but I choose how I handle it. Sorrows come, but I choose. Life is a choice. Life is a choice. And again, I say life is a choice. I'm talking about your future tonight. And when I say future, I'm not just talking about heaven or hell. I'm talking about this coming weekend. I'm talking about next month. I'm talking about if the good Lord tarries his and delays his coming. I'm talking about the rest of this year and next year. And where will you be 10 years from now? It is my choice. I'm gonna be passionate, obsessed, and possessed to the point of professing and performing. Somebody shout, yeah. Yeah. So what are you doing with your future? I'm reminded of a little story I read, a little tale. I'm trying to remember now where I read it. And I know it's an old country store, and they had an old hound dog laying there by the counter. Old hound dog, big old thing, just flop-eared, laying out there. And they had a sign by it that said, "Beware of dog. Beware of that lazy thing. Beware of that. That good for nothing." One day a man come in and he looked at the proprietor of the store and he said, "What do you mean, beware of dog?" He said, "I don't know. The old dog don't do anything but just lay around. But everybody that comes in here just trips over him and stumbles over him. So I had to put a sign up." Well, I know there's nobody like this here in Alabama, but back home I've got to put the sign up. Beware of your future. Don't let it just creep up on you. Don't let it just stumble. Don't just stumble along and have any kind of service, have any kind of church, have any kind of ministry, have any kind of Bible study, have any kind of Sunday school class, have any kind of choir. Hey, you got to make up in your mind, hey, I'm after it. It's what should be. Come on, worship God right now. Come on, what are you looking at? What are you seeing? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ought to prioritize what you value. You can be seated. So make your dreams a reality. Let your ideas become more than just a figment of your imagination that you had. Write them down. Look at it. I challenge you. The people that have succeeded at what you are wanting to do are not that much smarter than you and I. It's just that they decided to go do it. I come against the mentality that says it's the Cornwells, it's the Keys, it's the Alexanders, it's those over there in North Carolina. They're the ones. I'm telling you, in Alabama, there are churches that can run 1,000. I'm telling you right now, in Alabama, there is revival. There is revival in Alabama that can shake the United Pentecostal Church. Come on. What is your destination? Where are you going? What are you saying with your future? I'm saying, come on. You're running 50. Get in that prayer room. Get in that library with God and get to studying and say, I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. I can. Come on, this afternoon, after we ate, we made the journey. We're north, south, I guess north, south, west, wherever. And we went to Bessemer. I don't know where we were going. All I know is we're on our way to revival. See, y'all didn't catch that. You just let that one slip right on by you. You got to rejoice with them that rejoice. You can't sit back and say, well, I wonder why it's not happening to me and it's happening to them. Well, they've got to. No. You got to get it out of your mind. Get it out of your mind. That's what I want. That's what I want, people. I want people. I want the blessings. I want the anointing. I want the power. I want the favor. I want the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Your brother, your sister church is having revival. Bless God. You ought to call them up and send them an offering. And say, bless you. I know you're fighting in order to have that. You've had to endure. You've come on, somebody, and say, I got to get a part of that. I want to be in that. I want some of that. Lift up your eyes. Quit wandering around. This is the way we wash our clothes. Wash our clothes. Ring around the rosy. This is the way we go to church. Go to church. Go to church. This is the way we... Lift up your eyes and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Come on. Hey, we pulled up to that new building. Got out. I'm telling you, Brother Bertram was about to pop a button. His chest was out there. He was feeling so good. I'm chauffeuring these preachers up here. And I'm showing them the good things of God. I'm showing them. And we're walking around there. Beautiful building. Hey, I looked at that. And I'm telling somebody in here now, you ought to look at it and say, hey, I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I can do it. I know what I got, but I know what I should have. And I'm going to get passionate to the point of obsession, to the point of possession, to the point of performance. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, yeah. Bless you. You may be seated. I got to hurry up and get out of the way here. Listen to me. God has called us and told us what He wants us to do. Everybody say what? He's given us the what. Now, I'm just telling you how He deals with me. He always gives me the what before He ever gives me the how. I get the what, and then I look at the how. I look at the what, and then I go, how is this going to be? Me? This bunch I got. What? It's a principle. God always gives the what before He ever gives the how. And we get so hung up on the what, and we get excited about it. Boy, we'll buck and pitch and scream and holler and preach. And I mean, we'll get out there and get after the saints of God. And I mean, we declare war on the devil. And we are here. And then we go, oh, how's this going to happen? How's this going to happen? It's kind of like that story over in the Old Testament where the man of God comes to a starving city and he tells them that tomorrow, by this time tomorrow, you're going to have more than enough food. Everybody's going to be full and we're going to have leftovers. And one of those wise men, one of those who the king depended on, spoke up and said, even if the windows of heaven should open, could this thing be? In other words, how's that going to happen, preacher? And the man of God whirled on him and said, you're going to see it, but you won't partake of it. And it happened just like the man of God said. See, we get the what, but then we don't understand the how. And so then when we get the what and we believe the what till we get to the how, then the how messes with our mind, messes with our thinking. Then what we do is forget the what. Oh yeah, man, I'm all gung-ho. It's revival time. I mean, we're going to have healings. We're going to have miracles and signs and wonders. We're going to have people praying through. We're going to have revival. We're going to grow this church. Bless God. God's given me a vision. Come on. That was me when I first went to Dallas. Almost 22 years ago. And bless God, I got up and told them God gave me a vision. This church is going to run 1,000. And I know we're only running 168 right now. But bless God, you got the right man at the right place at the right time. I said, hell's hot, but I'm charging her with a water pistol. I've got a mandate from heaven. We were in a little old Cracker Jack box of a building. I could stand on the platform, put my hand up, and touch the ceiling while I preached. And they were just building, hanging the sheetrock on their new building. The building we were in would seat around 200, and that new building was going to seat 400. And our highest bill was $350 a month. And I was feeling good. Boy, I was kicking and preaching and dancing and prancing like I was on my way to Branson. I mean, here we go. Y'all better jump back. And then, bless your heart, we moved in that building. And Brother Sutton, the bank sent me that little book. And in that little book was all kinds of little coupons. Remember, our highest bill was $350. And now, every one of those little coupons, every 30 days, it said you will pay $2,500. And all of a sudden, I'll go, oops. What have I got myself into here? And my what disappeared because I could believe the what, but I didn't understand how. And I lost. And for 17 years, I wandered. Now, in those 17 years, I didn't just sit around. I didn't just sit back. I didn't just sit back and die. But I went to studying. And I went to preparing. And I went to saying, there's something got to happen here. I mean, something's got to happen to this boy, because if God gave me the vision, then I know I'm going to get there some way. And I got to learning it. Now hear me. God, I'm going to say it again. I'm going to drive it in the ground. God will always give you the what before he ever gives you the how. See, y'all hadn't caught it yet. All you're doing is give me that little old golf clap. But now watch it. Watch me. Here we go. With the what, he tells us what to do. He tells us where to go. It's what. And we get excited. But then we're going, well, how? And God told Mary what was going to happen. You found favor with God. You are blessed of God, and you are anointed, and you're going to bear a son, and it's going to be of the Most High, and his name is Jesus. And oh, look what's going to happen. And what was her response? Exactly what we do when God tells us in a prayer meeting, when God tells us in a revival conference, when God tells us at a camp meeting, when God gets a hold of us while we're praying or somebody's preaching or maybe while we're preaching, and God says, I want you, this is what I want you to do. And then we look around, boy, we get all excited about it, high five, and here we go, man, what? And then it's how. The first words out of Mary's mouth was, how's this going to be? I don't know, man. How's this going to happen? How? And the Holy Ghost simply said, the angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. Something is getting ready to happen. I want to preach to this church. Hear me. What will happen is what we've got to do is forget how. Don't worry about the how. All God told us to do was what we ought to be doing. Now, if he said what to do, then all we got to do is forget the how and get busy in the what. And when you get busy in the what, all of a sudden the how shows up. Hey, listen to me. Somebody shout what? Moses, get them out of Egypt. He went through all that, got them out of Egypt. I won't go into all that. And they're standing at the Red Sea. They're griping and complaining and whining and bellyache, wanting to go back. And God had told Moses what to do. He said, I'm doing what you want me to do. Now, we got mountains here, mountains over here, the Red Sea in front of us. We got Pharaoh's host coming up behind us to take us back as slaves. Now, we've done the what. And all of a sudden, God showed him the how. And you know how he got the how? God told him another what. Stretch forth your rod. Oh, now, Lord, now what are we going to do? You know, I mean, I need an army right now. Now, God, you know, I'm ready. Just stretch forth my rod. Yeah, just. He stepped up there. Whew. The east wind began to blow. And right before their eyes, right before all of those backslid, used to be slaves, now wanting to go back to be a slave again, all of a sudden, they saw the water stand up on end. Wow. They could see fish swimming around in there. They could see shark and redfish and bluefish. And I mean, there they are. And they walk. I could see all those Israelites. Let me use my imagination. No, you go first. No, you go first. I ain't stepping out there. No. No one had ever done it before. Why don't we do something that no one's ever done before? Why are we always following the parade? Why can't we lead the parade? I made my mind up in Dallas, Texas. I'm tired of following the Trinitarians. I'm tired of following the charismatic. I'm tired. Hey, somebody shout, what? Get lost in the what. Don't quit doing the what because you don't understand the how. Sometimes we lose the vision that God has given us because we are stuck somewhere between the what and the how. But if we'll just do the how, hallelujah. Was it David's responsibility to figure out how to get Saul out of the way so he could be king? No, all he had to do was keep doing what God told him to do. Was it the three Hebrew boys' business to figure out how they're going to come out of the fiery furnace? No, all they had to do was the what. I love their attitude. They said, oh king, our God is going to live forever. We're not going to bend, we're not going to bow. And you can throw us in that fiery furnace, that's all right. Our God will be able to deliver us. But if he doesn't, if not, we're still going to praise God. We're wrapped up in the what. We're not bowing. We're not giving up. We're not. Hey, that's what I'm preaching, Alabama. Catch the vision of the what and forget the how. God will bring the how when we are performing the what. Bear with me. Just 2 more minutes. What are we doing? What do you mean, what are we doing? He told us to feed these men. There's 5,000 men and all their families. He's lost his ever loving mind. He's telling us to feed them. We ain't got nothing. We ain't got nothing. Oh yeah, here's a little boy. He's got a little sack lunch, 5 loaves, 2 fishes. I don't know, maybe he's selling it. Maybe it was his lunch. I don't know. Andrew says, Lord, here, we got 5 loaves, 2 fishes, but what are they among so many? All God told them to do. Jesus just simply said, set them in companies, feed them. How? Forget the how. Just set them like they're supposed to be and feed them. Well, I don't have. You found the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Get them in the hands of the master and watch what he did with them. He took the what and he began to bless it. And when he blessed it, he broke it. And when he broke it, he multiplied it. And they were able to feed them. Forget the how. God called you to have revival. God told you to build that building and then fill it up. Forget the how. Do the what. Come on. Is that a good idea that you've had? Or was it a God idea? If it's of God, it'll come about. So now we moved in our new building. And man, we're having fun. And that bank sent me another one of those little. And this time, instead of 2,500, and we paid the other off in record time, and now he sent this one, and it said 23,000 a month. I looked around. I said, yeah, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, look, what? And the enemy said, you better back up. Brother Cornwell spoke it today to Brother Bertram and us. He said, don't you resign. You move into building. Man, I got there and I thought, you know, what would be good right now? I could go somewhere. I got some stories to tell. But that's just the enemy wanting to beat me up. And I said, devil, guess what? I ain't worried about the how. I'm just going to get busy with the what. I'm going to have revival. Come on. If Wichita, Kansas can have revival, I know Dallas, Texas can have revival. If Dallas, Texas can have revival, I know Birmingham can. Come on, I know Coleman can. I know Bessemer can. All of Mobile, all over Alabama. Somebody scream yes. Yeah. 200 years ago, men were following with bated breath the march of Napoleon. And they waited with feverish impatience for news of the wars. And all the while in their homes, babies were being born. But who could think about babies? Everybody was thinking about battles. In 1 year, between Trafalgar and Waterloo, there stole into the world a host of heroes born as babies. Gladstone was born in Liverpool. Tennyson was born in London. Oliver Wendell Holmes in Massachusetts. Abraham Lincoln drew his first breath in old Kentucky. Music was enriched by the birth of Felix Mendelssohn in Hamburg, Germany. But nobody thought about babies because they were all thinking about their battles. Yet which of the battles of 1809 matter more than the babies of 1809? Abraham Lincoln, Tennyson, Gladstone, Felix Mendelssohn. Oh yeah, babies. But we're not worried about babies. We're worried about our battles. God, in the year 2004, is birthing into this Alabama district some babies. Some babies. Oh yeah, you've got battles. Oh yeah, you got battles. Oh yeah, you're up against battles. But when you look back at the year 2004, you're saying, who worried about those battles when I saw my babies? I'm preaching to somebody right now. There is revival. There is apostolic moves of God. There is belief of the Most High. It's in you and on you and through you and to you and for you. Get your mind off your battles and get your mind on your new baby. When revival first broke at Dallas, I could feel it coming. 1999, I knew it, and I preached about it. I said, the first month, we will have 100 pray through. And they're looking at me like I'm crazy. One of them come to me and said, Pastor, I don't know. You're saying all this is going to happen? Would you look around at all the trouble we got? Would you see all the problems going on? You've lost your mind. You better hope your preacher loses his mind. And I come back quick with the answer. I said, wait a minute. Jesus looked around and said, the poor you're always going to have. And I said, you're always going to have trouble. When you think you're going to get it all together and get everything right, every I dotted, every T crossed, you're going to get every bill paid and everybody on the same page and everybody happy and everybody together, and then you're going to have the blessings God's want. Never happened. In spite of trouble, in spite of hell, in spite of the enemy, in spite of the obstacle, it's revival time. It's revival time. What has God challenged you with? What has God given to you? What are you passionate about? What are you obsessing about? What are you possessing? What are you producing? Come on, clap your hands. Lift your hands. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not just about good church.